Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, yeah, you're going to feel some pain swinging the bat. So obviously,
could it change you mechanically?
It could.
Or compensating?
Something's happened, Robert, with him. I mean, he's gotten super rotational. Everything's on the ground. So something has happened with him. I just don't think in a pennant race for a free agent, I know people disagree with me, like, Star's got a star. There's no guarantee I have Kyle Tucker next year, and I'm not going to put Owen Casey, who's a darn good prospect, in a position where he's got to take tough at-bats to decide my team's fate. It's got to be Kyle Tucker, in my opinion.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's former Cub Mark DeRosa on MLB Network talking about this Kyle Tucker injury situation. I'm with you for one more hour and live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network covers the Cubs for them over there. He'll join me coming up at 7:20. But man, I got thoughts on this whole Kyle Tucker situation and the lineup that we saw yesterday, and I know you do too, and I'm gonna try to carve out some time for you right here at 312-644-6767 to get some stuff off your chest as I get some stuff off my chest as well. And I'm gonna take it one thing at a time before I get to the lineup, which legitimately ruined my day yesterday. Before the first pitch was even thrown, it ruined my day, and I kind of knew how that was going to play out. And on top of that, what I want to address first is this Kyle Tucker injury situation, which, man, now we know that he had a fractured finger going back to June 1st when he jammed it sliding into second base. Now we know that, right? And here's what Craig Counsell had to say before the game yesterday about the injury and the way that the Cubs handled it.
I mean, I think, you know, what Kyle does, which I think most players do, is you put your head down and you go to work. And there's a game the next day, and you go try to win the game the next day, and you go perform in the game the next day, and that's how you think about it. And things were going pretty well. Things were going very well. Not pretty, very well. So that's how it went down.
So that's how it went down. And here's what Kyle Tucker had to say before the game yesterday about his finger injury and playing through it.
I mean, after the sliding play in June or whatever, I don't know, just kind of started hurting over the next inning or two and whatever. And I just came out. I thought I just kind of jammed it or whatever. It was kind of swollen. Did some x-rays or whatever and looked fine. And so it was kind of bothering me. I don't know how, like, time frame wise after that. And did some more and said it saw a little, like, small fracture in there. But it was already, like, a week or two or whatever after that. So where, it was already healing. And, but I just kept playing through it. Just thought, at some point it'd go away. And just kind of stuck around for a little bit, but I was playing and felt fine. And so I was hitting the ball and everything. So it's just kind of how it went.
And what both those guys say right there makes some sense to me. And Craig Counsell said it in some other comments that you heard right here on The Score, that they didn't necessarily disclose entirely what was going on with Kyle Tucker because he was playing through it. And you do that for players that are playing through injuries. You don't want opponents knowing exactly what injury a guy has, how it's affecting his swing, or what disadvantage it may present. So I get the way that they handled it at that point. I get he wants to play. That's natural for a player because he's competitive. He doesn't want to let his teammates down. And I've seen some people say that he was doing it for the contract. And you know what? That might be a factor too. And I'm okay with that. We all go to work to get paid and to make the most money that we can make. But I don't think that was his sole motivation. I think he's like most professional athletes, a very competitive guy, and he thinks him being out there every day gives his team the best chance to win, and he doesn't want to let anybody down. So I get that. I understand that. To that point, I get it. And I get the Cubs trying to let him play through it. That also makes sense to me. You hope a guy like that can stay in the lineup and stay productive and do what he did for you for the first 3+ months of the season. You hope he can continue that production, and he did for a little bit. So he gave him a little hope that, yeah, he's got this injury, but he can still hit. June, after that injury, was one of his most productive months this season when you look at various statistics. But as this thing deteriorated, at some point, when a guy has an OPS of 369 in August and 556 since the All-Star break, at some point, Jed Hoyer and or Craig Counsell, and by the way, I want to throw this in there. 8 days ago, I was on these very airwaves after the most recent, very frustrating loss to the Blue Jays, defending those two guys and saying that people were coming down on them a little bit too hard and putting more of the blame than they deserved on Hoyer and Counsell for the Cubs' struggles post-All-Star break, because I didn't think there was much to do at the trade deadline for Jed Hoyer that would have made this baseball team a whole lot better. And I didn't think there was a whole lot that Craig Counsell could do with the day-to-day lineups and everything else that was going to make a big difference. The reason they weren't winning games and haven't been winning games at the rate that they were before the All-Star break is really simple. It's that Tucker, PCA, and Saya haven't been producing at the level that they were, and that's going to affect an entire lineup, especially when it comes to Tucker. So I'm not a guy who hates Jed Hoyer. I'm not a guy who hates Craig Counsell, doesn't want them to be the president of baseball operations and the manager of this team. I'm high on both those guys. And what I'm about to say about this and the lineup that Craig Counsell threw out there yesterday doesn't change that. I'm not jumping ship on either of those two guys. But at some point, when you see Kyle Tucker struggling to the degree that he was struggling, somebody has to say, no, man. Be the adult in the room and just say, no, you're sitting. You're doing more harm than good to yourself and to the team. Take a couple weeks off and get right. And nobody did that. Nobody did that whatsoever. And they just let him go out there. And again, a 369 OPS in August and 556 since the All-Star break. And at no point did anybody just say, you have to sit down. You have to. We can't keep doing this. And now you bring him back. And obviously the rest and reset that you had for 2 days in the middle of that Brewers series didn't do what you hoped. You have to look at a DL stint now. So somebody needs to step up and be the adult in the room and look at a rehab stint now if you haven't already considered it seriously before this. And here's what Kyle Tucker had to say after that game yesterday and another game with no hits and just looking like the same dude that we've seen all August.
Any point throughout the year, you know, you're probably one swing away from turning things around, feeling great, or you know, something clicking to where you can feel something in that, and then you can make it consistent with every at bat. So, I mean, everyone's, you know, about one swing away from having a really good year.
You though, are you just one swing away? And they keep telling us, Tucker said it, Counsell said it, that it's healed and it's healthy. But you also told us that you didn't even disclose that it was broken, because you don't do that when a player is playing through an injury. So, how healthy is he? How close is he to getting back on track? And why hasn't anybody considered a DL stint for Kyle Tucker yet? So those are my thoughts on the Kyle Tucker situation. I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. So, but okay. All right. I thought it was too soon to bring Kyle Tucker back, but okay. You brought him back yesterday. I thought it could have waited at least another day if you weren't going to do the DL stint, but okay. You bring him back for the finale of that Brewers series. Why in the world do you need to sit Owen Casey and Matt Shaw for that series finale? Even bringing Kyle Tucker back, you could have sat Ian Happ. You could have sat Seiya Suzuki. Heck, you could have sat PCA, all three of whom are struggling and not giving you a lot in the lineup right now. You could have kept Owen Casey in the lineup and sat any one of those three guys. But no, you sat Owen Casey and Matt Shaw, who were literally about two-thirds of your offensive production in those middle three games that the Cubs took in that Brewers series. And there's literally no reason to sit Matt Shaw. None whatsoever. The guy is in his 20s. He needed rest. If it was because you wanted to keep Castro in the lineup, put him at second base, slide Nico to shortstop, and sit Dansby Swanson, who's also been struggling and seems to have been to be struggling all season long, especially with players with runners in scoring position. You could have sat Hap, Seiya, PCA, or Dansby, and it would have been a better choice than to sit Owen Casey and Matt Shaw, who were carrying your offense in those three games that you won. And on top of that, you sit Carson Kelly too? The only way that offense could have been less potent yesterday is if you just went ahead and put Turner at first base and sat Bush as well, which you might as well have done at that point. You might as well have gotten him a day of rest too. And you know what? Screw it. Sit Shota too. Why waste his innings in a great performance like that? I've been covering and talking about Craig Counsell for a long time. I was in Milwaukee working for our sister station, The Fan, up there for pretty much the entirety of his tenure as the Brewers manager. And don't believe what Brewers fans will tell you, that they never liked that guy and they don't think he's a good manager. They did. They loved him. He was the hometown hero, and they thought he was a very good baseball manager. But one of the criticisms that Craig Counsell would get was doing exactly what he did yesterday. I've seen what he did yesterday 100 times, and that's not an exaggeration. I've seen it 100 times. Sitting guys when he has a series won and you're traveling later that day, I've seen it from, we used to call it the white flag lineup. We literally had a name for it when I was working up in Milwaukee. We would call it the white flag lineup when Craig Counsell would do this. When he would sit guys because he had a series won and you kind of felt like you're playing with house money, let's do the load management thing, get these guys some rest. We're traveling later today. Let's get as much rest as we can before we head out on this road trip or head back home for a homestand, which makes sense. Because you do, and over the course of a 162-game season, you do have to find ways and find opportunities to get guys' days off and get them rest. It makes sense to do it that way, except for one thing. He didn't do it earlier in the season when it would have made all the sense in the world. All these guys, whether it was Tucker or PCA or Happ or Seiya or Dansby or Shaw, all these guys were playing damn near every day when you were world beaters and you had the division well in hand. He did not use this tactic earlier in the season, and you do it now in this series. You do it right now in this series. When you have the momentum, you have the vibes, you have the mojo going. I don't know about you, and I don't know exactly what's going on in that clubhouse. When they took the middle three games of that series and swept the doubleheader on Wednesday, that's as good as I've felt about the Cubs in months. And I got to imagine that's as good as they felt about themselves in months. And you had the Brewers on the ropes. The Cubs had won 5 out of 6. They had gained 3 games in the standings while the Brewers had lost 4 or 5. And you could have handed them their longest losing streak of the season yet. And we were talking about the difference of 5 games back versus 7 games back with just 34 to play. And you throw the white flag lineup out there for that one? And the thing that kills me is hearing Craig Counsell after the game, and it sounds like he understood the importance of this game. Here's Craig Counsell after that game talking about only taking 3 of 5.
You know, I mean, I described the series as we kind of held serve. We probably needed a little bit more, but, you know, we win 3 out of 5, and
you know, that adds up three wins. But you know, today stings a little bit. To get in today's game, obviously, would have been a big one. And you know, they played a better game than us.
And here he is talking about missed opportunities in this series.
We put some base runners on against Priester and drove the pitch count up pretty good. But you know, there wasn't hits, right? And so we just didn't, you know, get kind of the bases loaded situation. We got one in, couldn't get any more. And then had some small opportunities, but nothing else really big.
You threw just about the worst lineup that you could throw out there. And watched your team go 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. And by the way, they're hitting .224 with runners in scoring position since June 4th. That's almost the worst in baseball. It's 28th in baseball during that span. And that was before the 0-for-8 yesterday. So yeah, you had missed opportunities. And yeah, taking 3 out of 5 was probably not good enough. So why did you do that? Again, I'm as big a Craig Counsell guy as you'll find. I was thrilled when they made the move to sign him. I think he's one of the better managers in this league, and I'm not jumping ship on that take. I'm not. I know a lot of you are not fans of his right now. I'm still a big Craig Counsell guy. That was hands down his worst day yet as the Chicago Cubs manager. Both in the culmination of their handling of the Kyle Tucker situation, and then that lineup that he threw out there, again, I call it a white flag lineup, his worst day hands down as the Cubs manager yet. And it has ruined my mood for 2 days now. 312-644-6767 if you want to talk about this. I got a couple minutes before Andy Martinez of Marquee Sports Network joins me. Let's go get Mike in Chicago real quick before the break. Mike, you're on the score. What's up, buddy?
Hi, I love your show. Listen, here's the thing with Counsell. That was the biggest game of the year last year, if you can get it down to 5. I couldn't understand it. And I know the night before, when he had runners on base and his hottest hitter is Cassie, I don't give a shit. He's only been around for 3 weeks.
You can't say that, Mike. You can't say that, buddy. Thank you. Thank you, Sean, for dumping it. I get it, though. I get it.
We understand, but also you can't say that.
Exactly. I 100% understand. I would like to come on and say the very same thing, but I'm a broadcast professional, or at least, you know, they give me the microphone to pretend to be one. You can't say that, but I do appreciate the call, Mike, and I understand the frustration. And by the way, the frustration continues today. Because neither Owen Casey or Michael Bush are in the Cubs lineup tonight because they're throwing a lefty in Tyler Anderson. But here's the thing. Tyler Anderson and his reverse splits, not great. He's allowing a .305, .376, .603 slash to left-handed hitters this season. Craig Counsell's really testing me. I'm not jumping ship, but he's really, really testing me. And while I'm at it, let me go ahead and give you the entirety of the Cubs lineup as they take on the Angels before I break and talk about all this with Andy Martinez. It'll be Nico Horner at second and leading off. Kyle Tucker in the lineup again. He's in right field and batting second. Seiya Suzuki will be the DH and bat third. Justin Turner is at first base and batting fourth. Carson Kelly back in the lineup at catcher, batting fifth. Ian Happ in left field, batting sixth. PCA slides down to seventh, and he will be in center field. Dansby Swanson batting eighth and at shortstop. And Matt Shaw, who, by the way, since the All-Star break in 93 plate appearances, a .302 average, 9 home runs, 18 RBI, 17 runs, and 4 stolen bases, is still batting ninth. And I pushed back on Spiegs last week when I came on right after those guys, and I pushed back on him saying, move Shaw up in the lineup. Do something with this Cubs offense that's struggling. I was like, man, that's not going to do a whole lot. But at this point, it's pretty undeniable that he's one of the better hitters on this team right now. Maybe that's not the case in 3 or 4 weeks from right now, but he's probably the best hitter in your lineup right now, and you continue to bat him ninth or just sit him on random days. Craig Counsell is really testing me. And again, as big a Craig Counsell as you'll find, big as Craig Counsell guy as you'll find in this market right now. But he's really testing me right now with some of these lineups and whatnot. I need someone to talk about this with. I think Andy Martinez is the guy. He covers the Cubs for the Marquee Sports Network. And by the way, after I talk with Andy, I'm totally open to talking more about this with you guys at 312-644-6767 before I get out of here at 8 o'clock. But Andy Martinez joins me, Rami Makhlouf, next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
To the right side, Bush, ball game, Cubs win, and it's a doubleheader sweep, 4-1 the final in the nightcap, and a good day for the Cubs.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
A couple of texters and callers did in the previous segment. There will be time for you before we wrap this thing up at 8 o'clock at 312-644-6767. But joining me now on the Circus Sports Hotline, go to circusports.com to find out more. He covers the Cubs for the Marquee Sports Network. My pleasure to welcome in Andy Martinez. Andy, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, good. How palpable is the difference in the mood of, among the Cubs from Wednesday night to last night when they take a doubleheader and then drop the finale of that series 4-1 to the Brewers yesterday?
It was pretty palpable. It was kind of like it was weird because you win a series, you usually feel good about you win a series, especially a 5-game series. But I thought Craig Counsell's quote post game Thursday was pretty accurate, right? Like, it felt like they held serve. They won the series, but like they only made one game dent. And for as great as it was to sweep the doubleheader and to win 3 in a row against the Brewers, who had won 14 in a row going into the series, or the day before the last series or before the series, they still only made up one game in the standings, and they're 7 games back. And I was doing the math with Tony Andracki, my coworker at in the press box, and if the Brewers go 500 the rest of the way, which isn't a guarantee given that they've played like at a 700 pace Memorial Day, but if they go 500, the Cubs would have to go 24-10 over their next 34 games. And I looked up their best 34 game stretch of the season, and it was 23-31 from May to June. So you're asking a lot to make up the division, and that's kind of why the mood was so different going Thursday after the game compared to Wednesday night after you're sweeping the doubleheader.
You know, I in the last segment before I brought you on, I expressed some frustration with the lineup that Craig Counsell put out there and it seemed like the type of lineup that a manager puts out knowing that you won a series, you're playing with house money, and you want to get some guys some rest, especially when you're traveling later that day. But I thought that yesterday's game was too important to go with that tactic. And the thing that surprised me was, and you just alluded to Craig Counsell's comments after the game, he seemed to understand the importance of that game and still went with that lineup. How surprised were you when you saw it, and what did you make of that lineup that Craig Counsell put out there yesterday?
Yeah, I was surprised to see the exclusion of Matt Shaw. And I know the frustration for fans was Matt Shaw and Owen Casey.
Yeah.
The thing with a rookie is, like, especially a rookie in Owen Casey's case where he doesn't have a lot of time, like, as for as hot as he is, like, you don't know exactly what you're going to get day to day, right? Just because he's adjusting to the big league, you don't know what the pitching is going to be like. Quinn Priester's a really good pitcher that they had won. They've now won 15 straight appearances by him starts, and he's had an opener in front of him. But like, it's a really good pitcher that, sure, I get why you wouldn't necessarily want to face Owen Casey. But Matt Shaw's been your best hitter in the second half, and I thought it was just interesting that he was left off. And I understood Craig Counsell's reasoning before the game. He mentioned like guys like Willie Castro and Owen Casey's in the same boat where like they have to find at bats to kind of have their rhythm going. I totally understand that. And I agree, right? Like you need Willie Castro down the stretch. You need Owen Casey down the stretch. Like you need these bench bats, Justin Turner down the stretch, and you want to get them at bats. But I think maybe today's game in Anaheim would have been a little bit better for someone like Willie Castro because he's a switch hitter and they're facing a left-hander. Like I thought it was just to your point. I agree with you. Like I thought that game yesterday was so much more important because a 6-game deficit, a 5-game deficit, while still really tough to overcome, it's you're essentially having to make up a game a week. Whereas with the 7-game, it's a huge difference and really puts the division, I don't want to say out of reach, but it's a pretty distant pipe dream for the Cubs, just losing that one game.
Yeah, when you're late in the season, that's the difference between 5 and 7 games is significant. And there were two games on the line yesterday in the standings in the finale of that series. And on top of that, Andy, and I guess this kind of goes back to what I asked you about how palpable the difference in mood was. You had momentum. You had good vibes in that locker room and at Wrigley Field for the first time in quite a while, and you had the Brewers on the ropes. You had the Brewers losers of 4 of their last 5 games and a chance to hand them their 4th loss in a row, something they haven't done all year. They haven't lost 4 games in a row all year. I think all those factors play into what we're talking about. Like, momentum is real, right, when you're talking about the 162-game baseball season?
Yeah, momentum's real, and the Vin Scully line, I think, is the perfect one, right? Momentum's your next day starting pitcher, and Shota Umaga was incredible, right? And
yeah,
beyond just like trying to win the game, the bullpen was short. They pretty much had like 2, maybe 3 guys available in their bullpen because of the doubleheader and because of everything going on. So Shota to get you 21 outs was just incredible, right? And I don't want to harp too much on like Matt Shaw and Owen Casey, but like the rest of the lineup also didn't show up, right? They were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah,
they just did not deliver, and that's kind of been the crux of the issue in the second half, where they're creating some of these big rallies, right? Like they'll get second and third with one out, or they'll get the bases loaded with no outs, and they get one run, or they get no runs, or maybe you get 2 runs. Whereas in the first half, it felt like they get runners on second and third, and here comes a crooked number on the scoreboard. Here, bases loaded. All right, they're going to put this game away right now. That just hasn't been the case in the second half. And what's also interesting too is like their second half record is right around 500, which is for as crazy as we're talking about like how much you're struggling and how things are going, it's still one of the best records in the National League. It's just the Brewers' run has been so good that it's really put them away in the division. And that's what's like wild to me. Is if the Cubs were in any other division, they're in the lead. Now they're in the NL Central, and like that's what they signed up for. Like they knew that was the case, and this is the situation where they're in, where they're now looking to try and get the top wild card spot so they can have that home series in that 3-game series in October.
Talk with Andy Martinez, who covers the Cubs for MarqueeSportsNetwork.com here on the Score Evening Show with Rami Makhlouf. And I was making the case last week, Andy. I was on here after the series finale to the Blue Jays, and I was saying essentially what you just said, that the Brewers' success and how crazy hot that they've been has amplified or magnified the frustration and disappointment of Cubs fans, and in any other division they'd be in much better shape. So I do want to maybe take a little bit more of a positive turn here in this discussion, because in the 3 games that they won in this series, while the power still wasn't there, and especially from the guys in the heart of that order who were producing so much of that power early in the season, what I saw was this team getting big hits in spots where they needed big hits. And sometimes you have to win games like that, especially against a team like the Milwaukee Brewers. Given the way the series ended, do you think that's still a positive that I can take, and maybe still they can take some momentum into this Angels series and beyond based on what they accomplished in the middle of that series?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Like that's one thing that we're going to see in October, right? Like for all that we talk about how they're high powered offense and how they're blowing teams out in the first half, like come October, come the playoffs, you're not going to really have blowout games. So these games are really important. And I guess, yeah, to your point with the one solace you take is that they're creating these opportunities, and baseball is such a game of runs where like who knows, maybe in 2 weeks they're going to be having all these second and third or bases loaded or first and third opportunities, and they're just going to be cashing them in and cashing them in. That's just kind of how baseball is, where there's these runs where a team gets hot, where an offense gets hot or an offense gets cold. What's right now, like the offense is really cold, and yet the starting pitching has been really, really great. Since July 1st, their starting rotation ERA is sub 3. It's the best in baseball, which is crazy to think about because Jameson Taillon was missing. Matthew Boyd's been good, but he hasn't been at the level that he was in the first half where he was an all-star. It's really been like Shota Imanaga, Colin Ray, Boyd, and Cade Horton, which if you said at the beginning of the season your rotation is going to be in your rotation in middle of August, end of August, your three main guys are going to be Colin Ray, Shota Imanaga, and Cade Horton, you probably thought things went way off the rails because you're like, what happened to Justin Steele? What happened to Jameson Taillon? Like, you'd probably be very, very concerned, and yet they're really carrying this rotation and really keeping them in, because with their offensive struggles, they're being kept in games because their rotation is pitching 5, 6, 7 innings night in and night out and limiting the opponent to maybe 2 or 3 runs, where even though the offense is cold, like they're still in the game, which again, maybe it's being looking too much on the positive side, but like if the offense can get it going, that's a really good thing because they're never really out of the game.
I haven't asked you about the injury that everybody's talking about when it comes to this Cubs team. I do want to get to that before I let you go, but you brought up Cade Horton. Do we know the situation with him yet after he left the last game with the blister? Is he going to miss a start or is he going to be ready for the next one?
No, he's listed as a probable for tomorrow against the Angels, so he should be pitching tomorrow.
Okay, and obviously, before I let you go, Andy, we have to address this Kyle Tucker situation. He comes back tomorrow after the 2 days off, and I think a lot of people think a DL stint would be good for Kyle Tucker at this point, if for nothing else, to get some rest and get his head right. Listening to Craig Counsell and Tucker himself talk yesterday, it doesn't sound like still that's something that's really on the table or that they're seriously considering. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, because both parties have said like that the injury itself is fully healed. So you know if you're healthy, you can't go on the IL. And right now it's just the mechanical adjustments that have some maybe subconsciously him and Craig Counsell, Jed Hoyer, they've all kind of been saying they don't really know when what happened to the struggles. They think what might have happened because it's happened in the past to other players is, you have an injury, you suddenly start overcompensating or doing something differently without even knowing it, and it leads to mechanical changes. And you can look up some of the advanced data, whether it's on Baseball Savant or things like that, and his bat speed down. And the most obvious is the ground ball rate. The ground ball rate before July 1st was 30%, and now it's over 40%. And really, that series against the Brewers, even though he had those 3 games off, it felt like every single at bat was just pulled to the right side, ground ball to the right side, ground ball to the right side. And that's just not what Kyle Tucker is. When he's at his best, he's driving the ball into the gaps. He's hitting for power. He's putting the ball in the air. And right now he's just rolling it over to the right side. And we're seeing the frustration that's leading to that. He claims he's healthy. Now he's just trying to find the mechanical cure, the mechanical shift that kind of gets his swing back on. Because if the Cubs want to go deep in October, like he has to be the catalyst for this offense like he was in the first half. I mean, he's been a top 5 hitter in baseball for years, that you just need him to be at that level if you expect to go deep into October.
That's Andy Martinez. Find his work. Find work it is at MarqueeSportsNetwork.com. You can follow him on Twitter at @AMartinez_11 to get all the latest on the Chicago Cubs and my guest for the last few minutes here on the Score Hotline, which is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Andy, really appreciate the time and the insight, man. Great stuff.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And by the way, tonight the Cubs begin their road trip in Anaheim against the Angels. Pregame coverage begins at 8, first pitch at 8:38 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We'll hit a quick break. As I said before, we do have time to take your calls. I got it all off my chest as far as the lineup yesterday, the Kyle Tucker situation. I know a lot of Cubs fans have thoughts on that as well. And a Kyle Tucker situation, I feel like it's time to ask right now, and I will ask it right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf. It's the Score Evening Show at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch to Willie, driven in the air, deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Three-run homer, Willie Castro. Cubs lead 5-0.
We're back live with more Rami Metcalf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Ah, those were good times, weren't they? Remember that? Seems like so long ago that we were all happy as Cubs fans because they had once swept a doubleheader, won three in a row, gained three games on the Brewers in 4 days. Man, such good times. Just great memories, you know what I mean? And then it all just went away, just gone. And I got a texter here from the 630, Rami Metcalf with you, by the way, for a few more minutes, wrapping things up at 8 and making way for Cubs baseball as they take on the Angels tonight. And I hope they can recapture that magic and that momentum that they had in the middle of that Brewers series. This text from the 630 says, Wednesday was the best day for the Cubs, and yesterday was the worst. I think that sums it up about as well as you can sum it up. And why I'm so frustrated with Craig Counsell and the lineup that he put out there yesterday. I can't make it make sense that you sat the two guys that were driving your offense in Matt Shaw and Owen Casey. I can't wrap my head around. And even if you were going to bring Kyle Tucker back, okay. Like, I thought it was too early. I think he needs a DL stint, but okay, you've decided against that. Why not Happ sitting? Why not Shaw sitting? Why not Dansby sitting? Why did it have to be those two guys that were so good for you throughout that series and really the driving force of your offense? It doesn't add up to me. I want to get to some of your calls and more of your text here at 312-644-6767. Just a quick update on the Bears game, if you're curious. They trail the Chiefs right now 10-0. The Chiefs have had the ball twice. The first time they drove 89 yards and scored an Isaiah Pacheco touchdown. Second drive, they go 81 yards in just over 3 minutes and hit a Harrison Butker 31-yard field goal to make it 10-0. I haven't seen if Caleb Williams and the first team offense is going to run out there.
It looks
for another
like he
series.
Is preparing to get out there for another series. Yeah, he's standing on the sideline with a helmet on.
Okay, good. Thank you, Sean Sears, for keeping an eye on that. It's hard to do that when you're on the air and talking for a living, so I appreciate it. He went 1-for-2 for 14 yards on a 3-and-out series in their first drive. So, as I said to start the show, like it's ones versus ones, which is not something you've gotten yet here in the preseason, and I'd like to see some good things. Haven't seen it yet, especially not from the defense, as the Chiefs' offense has gone through them pretty easily for two long drives and 10 points. But let's get back to some Cubs talk real quick before we get out of the way for Cubs baseball, and let's go out to Skokie. And, Tom, you're on the score. What's up, Tom?
Hey, I don't know you. I've never called a radio station before.
Well, I'm glad you did.
I agree 100% with you. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it doesn't make
100%.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the call. It just doesn't. And the thing that drove me crazy was that Craig Counsell, after the game, seemed to understand the importance of that last game and how big it would be to get 4 out of 5 in that series. Because, like I said, that looked to me like a lineup that a manager throws out as like, we already won the series, playing with house money, let's get some guys some days off. And A, that's not something he's really done this season. He's pretty much been throwing his everyday position players, Ansei Suzuki at the DH. He's pretty much been playing them almost every day. And that lineup yesterday seemed to me to be that type of lineup that you put out when you've already won a series and you got to get some guys some rest. But after the game, he says that they held serve and that probably wasn't good enough because of the difference between trailing by 7 games and trailing by 5 games with just 34 to play. He knew the importance. He knew how big that game was. And still threw out what I call a white flag lineup. And just real quick before I wrap up the show here tonight, and Sean Sears, you can tell me if I'm overreacting. You can tell me if I'm just being crazy with this last question, and maybe it's not a question you throw out.
You're being crazy.
Two minutes left.
Was I supposed to wait for something?
Yeah, the actual...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The actual question. And maybe this is too big a question to throw out with 2 or 3 minutes left in the show. But this is just the very early beginnings of this rattling around in my head. If this keeps up with Kyle Tucker, I think unanimously Cubs fans were like, you got to sign this guy at the end of the season before his recent struggles. If he doesn't figure this out, and they're telling us... it's not because of injury. Like, there's just something off with his mechanics or whatever the case might be, his approach, whatever. Are we sure we want him back next year? And I'm not trying to come down too hard on the guy. I know he's going out there and trying every day, and he takes his batting practice and studies the tape and everything that great hitters do. I know he wants to be better than this. I was a big fan, and I'm still a big fan of his. But the thought has creeped into my mind of, are we still sure? Are we still sure that we want this guy back next year at the price tag that it's going to cost? Is that a crazy thought to have?
No, I don't think that's too crazy. I think that's fair. He should be a Cub. The Cubs just still want to sign him. He probably shouldn't be a $500 million man.
Yeah, to me, he moves further and further away from that every day that he goes out there and plays. And that, if I'm the Cubs, that's part of the case that I'm making to him for why you need to go on a DL stint. And I know Andy Martinez said, well, they said the injury is healed. You can't put him on the DL. Now, sure you can. They come up with injuries all the time. Just say it was re-aggravated, and boom, just put him on the... Just do it. You don't have to have a real injury to do it. My thanks to Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network for joining me to talk some Cubs. Chris Emma, who joined me to talk some Bears. You can check out his work at 670thescore.com. All of you for listening, for contributing to the show tonight. Your texts, your calls, your tweets were greatly appreciated. And thanks to Sean Sears on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos and helping me put this whole thing together tonight. Till next time, Rami Makhlouf saying thanks for listening to the Score Evening Show. Cubs baseball is coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.